Okay, I'd like to convene the Finance Committee. We don't have quite a quorum present yet, but in the interest of time, I'd like Representative Peterson to come down. Representative Peterson, being that we're a little bit short of a quorum, we'll have you begin presenting the bill, and of course we won't take any action relative to the division report until a quorum is present. And we're getting close, so I may interrupt you at some point just to get things officially before us. Okay. Representative Peterson, if you could walk us through the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Community-based energy development was developed in 2005, passed into law in the 2005 energy bill, and at the time it applied only to wind power projects in the state of Minnesota. This bill has been switched to apply to all renewable energy technologies under our renewable energy standard, which we did earlier this legislative session. Also, under this legislative session, this bill consumed quite a bit of time outside of the committee room with lots of stakeholders and representatives from the agency. Worked closely with the Department of Commerce to develop some of the language in the bill, which is a priority for the administration, the renewable energy advocates, if you will, and utilities who obviously have an interest in the bill as well, came to what I think some would call an agreement, at least at this stage in the process. And just quickly from the House research summary that Mr. Elif put together, like I said, it expands the definition to include all eligible technologies, not just wind power, and it changes some of the financial criteria and definitions under which we refer to a seabed. Seabed has typically at least been financed with something called a tariff rate. For those who aren't on the Energy Committee or haven't paid as much attention to this, CBED is over a 20-year power purchase agreement with the first 10 years paying a higher rate than the second 10 years. And in terms of net present value as it relates to the utility's discount rate, there was a 2.7 cents per kilowatt hour over the life of the 20-year power purchase agreement, which we've removed, which will allow, I guess, more flexibility and a wider range of possibilities for purchase price over a 10-year block, over a 20-year period. And the utility should offer this tariff in front of the commission by December 1st, 2007. Since we have, since this law came into place and we've passed a renewable energy standard, the CBED is not a requirement per se, but it's becoming more formal this year, and that utilities subject to the RES must take reasonable steps to determine if one or more CBED projects are available on page 4.4. And we make some other changes that refer to the cooperatives, generation and transmission, and the municipal utilities, such that may propose in a partnership with their members of a distribution utility or power agency that some of their members won't want to be in it, but the members have to request it. A CBED project, then, I guess the other part that is changed is the definition of what it is or what it isn't. And under this proposal, we're stating such that on page 3, top of at least 51% of the total payments of the power purchase agreement of the utility will accrue to the qualifying owners, which a qualifying owner is up on page 2.3, right through there, to 2.19. At 35%, made over the term of the power purchase agreements will go towards these qualified owners, owners of land, local units of government in the form of taxes paid, lenders, Minnesota's charter state banks, and then it goes into some of the 3.11, 3.13 in terms of smaller wind projects, which we need to have a little bit more attention paid to, so it cuts up the ownership there as well. I'm just going to keep going until you tell.
Well, we're...
Okay, you're still waiting?
Well, but you just walking through the bill. As soon as you're done walking through the bill, we'll take questions. We did find out, if you look around the room, it's all Democrats here.
I'm done explaining it.
We still don't have a quorum. I wasn't meaning that was a signal for anything, but
it's gonna be easy.
We did find out apparently yesterday morning there had been a breakfast scheduled with the Republican members with the governor, and if you recall, there was a service man killed in from Wilmer, and he was at that funeral, so they rescheduled the breakfast for today, which is understandable, the change with what happened in Wilmer. They're supposed to leave the governor's mansion, I think 8:15 was that, approximately, or we're still waiting on a quorum at any rate, so we will take questions. And I would like some members of the minority caucus here before we take any official action on the bill, just so we're not just so we're including them so that they know what's happening. So if there are questions of Representative Peterson, otherwise we will just temporarily lay your bill over and go to the presentation by Representative Hilty.
Okay. As for the members, Mr. Hilty's coming forward, and this bill is part of what he's proposing as well. So the bill he's been doing next, I have a third of it, if you will, and maybe you'll get to some more there. So I should just take a step back and wait a little bit?
Yeah, okay. Thank questions. You. Okay, Representative Hilty. Oh, who had a question? Oh, Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Peterson, seems how this is a finance committee.
Yeah.
You talked about a lot of things in your particular bill. What part of it draws it into the finance committee? I don't understand. Does this have a fiscal impact to the state, fiscal impact to the ratepayers, to the utilities?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, the fiscal note on the page, it deals with changes in the bill that will be done at the Department of Commerce. At one point, we would take the reliability administrator, Mr. Wolf, from the Department of Commerce from the commission over to the Department of Commerce, which gives it that FTE change that you might think you see at the bottom of page one. So, no, there's no changes, I guess, if you will, in terms of the state budget for out of Mr. Hilty's committee.
And Mr. Chair?
Representative Mahoney.
Then could one other thing, could you explain what the word tariff is? What is this tariff that you're talking about in here and the 2.7 or
okay.
Whatever that is, and then I'll be done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Member Sarah, over a 20-year power purchase agreement, we're front-loading the first 10 years where you're going to pay more for the power the first 10 years. So you negotiate that.
At this point?
Yeah.
So is it the state that's paying more, the consumers that are paying more, the utilities that are paying more? Who's paying more? Because you just said that. That's
yeah.
My
thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hoyt, those who enter into the power purchase agreement, the developers and those utilities that buy it. Under the PPA, the power purchase agreement. So it wouldn't necessarily be more than different forms, but it would be higher in the first 10 years than it would be in the second 10 years, so it's a tariff rate. So you'd make it 5 units for the first 10 years, and then you might negotiate down to maybe 4, or just 6 to 3, or 2 to 1, whatever it is. But to be CBED, and he gets in here, there's a general statement that it has to be higher in the first 10 years than the second 10 years. And then we can get into risk and financing and debt service and depreciation and all that too. So you cover some of you front load it, you pay more the first 10 years than you do in the second 10 years. So the power out 20 years from now would be, in theory, cheaper than what it is today.
Okay. if you don't mind just waiting a few moments. We now have a quorum present, so I'll officially convene the meeting, and we do have the minutes from April 25th. If there's a motion on the minutes.
So moved.
I heard a motion from somewhere. Representative Hilty moves the minutes. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. As I mentioned earlier, we'll wait a few moments for at least some of the Republican committee members to appear, and then we'll take action on the bill. So if Representative Hilty would begin his overview of House file.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think I could move the
145.
Representative Peterson's bill at this point, also the division report.
Okay, if you'd like to move the report, any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I would move the Energy Finance and Policy Division report for House File 2253, the first committee in Grossman.
That motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Hilty.
And Mr. Chair, I would also move that House File 2253, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Yes, and what I wanted to do, Representative Hilty, was wait before we voted on that for at least some minority party.
I understand.
People to be present, so we will vote on that motion when at least some of them arrive. For those of you that came in late, apparently the Republican caucus is having breakfast with the governor. Hopefully they're not planning any mischief for our bills when they arrive. Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the Energy and Finance Policy Division report for House File 436, the first committee in Grossman.
In that, yeah, that we just we laid the last bill over and officially until, so we'll hold on that motion and we just laid it over. The motion is before us for the division report. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Yeah, we'll have to remake that motion on the previous bill a little later. Representative Hilty.
Should I proceed with the motions in this bill?
No, we'll wait. Why don't you do the, just as Representative Peterson did, the overview, and then we will proceed with motions as soon as you're done.
Very well. Mr. Chair, members, at some point, I think the bill that you have in your packets is House File 436. At some point, we'll need to insert that language into the Senate file, which is already passed in the Senate, but I'll just be referring to
House File. We can do that, Representative Hilty, those procedural kinds of things. I just didn't want to do a final vote until we had some representation. So if you'd like to make that motion, go right ahead.
Very well, Mr. Chair, I would move that Senate File 145, the first engrossment, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then we need the next motion, then, Representative Hilty. That put the bill before us. Now we need to make the amendment.
And, Mr. Chair, we'll then move to delete the language in Senate File 145, the first engrossment, and insert the language from House File 436, the first committee engrossment.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Then, if you would explain the bill, and then we'll hold on final action.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, this bill is entitled the Next Generation Energy Act, and it is sometimes referred to as the Governor's Energy Bill. Back in December, Governor Pawlenty address the Rural Development Forum and laid out a pretty aggressive energy plan for the state that included basically four elements. What he described at that point as a renewable energy objective, strong component for conservation and efficiency, which would change the focus of the conservation improvement plan that we've had in place in the state for some time, community-based economic development component, and global warming mitigation component. What we did in our committee is try to start with the governor's bill and make it a committee bill. I asked members of the committee who might be interested in working on those particular elements to go ahead and do that with a separate bill. It had been our intention all along to roll those back together as the governor's energy bill with our particular committee imprint on it, and members, that's what we have done. The first component of that bill did pass separately. It was something that had been worked on by Senator Anderson and by Representative Peterson in the previous session. So that was pretty much ready to go, and members will recall that we did pass that bill early on in the session as the renewable energy standard. The remaining three elements of the governor's proposal are represented in House File 436. Representative Kalin, a member of our Energy Policy and Finance Division, took the lead on the conservation and efficiency portion of the bill. That is House File 1221 that, in fact, has been heard in this committee a few weeks ago. And since it has been heard in the committee, I'm not going to focus on that. The second element in the bill is Representative Peterson's community-based economic development bill that you just heard. If there are further questions about that, we can turn to Representative Peterson. The third element in the bill, which has not been heard in this committee, is Representative Rood's bill, House File 375, which is the global warming mitigation piece. I can address that briefly since that has been a focus of some concern. Really, what that piece, which is Article 5 in the bill, I believe that begins on page 40, bottom of page 40. What that does, very briefly, members, is it asks the Pollution Control Agency to find a way to measure and report on greenhouse gas emissions in the state, and ask the Department of Commerce and the public, the Pollution Control Agency, to develop a plan on how best to reduce those emissions in the state. I should emphasize that what the bill requires is merely a plan. It's a plan that would be brought back before the legislature for implementation or modification as the legislature would desire. I think that's something that is not well understood about this particular part of the bill. But what it asks is basically a plan for achieving greenhouse gas reductions, and including in that planning some kind of cap and trade system in which an upper limit for greenhouse gas emissions in the state would be established, and then anyone that any emitter that exceeded that cap would be required to purchase or implement some kind of offset to balance that. It's, I think, at this point, a fairly well understood concept. A controversial part of that bill is that it does prohibit building any new large energy facilities that would in the state, or importing electricity from such a facility unless that facility can offset its carbon emissions. That's something that the proponents of a couple of projects that are underway, notably the Excelsior IGCC plant on the Iron Range and the Big Stone 2 plant in South Dakota, feel would be burdensome to them. I've worked with proponents for both of those projects to try to find language that would satisfy their concerns. I think we're very close to doing that. We had a very productive meeting earlier, well, I guess it was at the end of last week, kind of losing track of time here. But we think we will have that worked out satisfactorily by the end of the week or early next week. At least that would be my hope. Members, that basically is the bill. We started out with the governor's proposals in each of these areas. Members have worked very diligently with stakeholders and with the governor's office through the Department of the Energy Division of the Department of Commerce, and I think that what we have here is really an excellent bill. And members, I would ask for your support.
Okay, there are questions of Representative Hilke. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have just one question about the cap and trade issue, and I don't serve in that committee, so I don't know everyone else may understand it. I'd just like to make sure I understand it. Can you tell me, are there particular geographical impacts from a utility buying buying from another utility, trading off carbon?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, I'm not sure I understand the question. Geographical impact. Frankly, I think that's one of the problems that is inherent in the cap and trade system, which is that, you know, on the plus side, it does recognize that global warming is a global problem, you know, and that anything that happens positively to mitigate carbon emissions anywhere on the planet is a good thing. But one of the problems with it is that we could well be in essence paying for offsets for emissions in Minnesota to some other country halfway around the world. In my personal opinion, that's not an ideal solution, certainly not the entirety of the solution, but nonetheless, it's a major step, I think, in the right direction.
Gibson Park to do.
Well, I guess I'm just, again, not sitting on the committee. I haven't had a chance to talk about this, but maybe you could share with me later some of the, what we do know about, for example, where some of those trade-offs would, who they would impact in other countries. Are they low-income communities? Are they, you know, are there those kind of issues that are part of what we're talking about here?
Mr. Chair, Representative Park, that's one of the reasons that we're asking for a comprehensive plan and study of this. I think there are a number of possible or conceivable variations on a cap and trade system. Purely regional ones have been discussed as part of the governor's proposal that we initiate regional discussions on this issue, and it's quite possible that the system could be put in place that would only involve our region of the United States rather than being part of a global system.
Mr. Chairman, and you know, I would like to be more informed about that. And even within a region, you know, the question would still arise: are there certain communities that are disadvantaged? So that, I guess, if it's coming back to the legislature for discussion, a report and discussion, we'd have a chance at that point to weigh in on that. Is that right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, that's correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any Representative Clark, did you have any further questions? Any further questions of Representative Hilty? Bit of a dilemma. In all my years here, I've never quite had this situation. I do like to respect the role of the minority. I'm told that they did have some amendments prepared, but none of them are here.
There's one here. That's for the other thing.
Yeah, but I mean, none of the members are here to present their amendments. We do have floor session starting at 9. I was told that they were hopefully going to leave there at 8:15. The governor's residence meeting was properly posted, advanced notice. They were obviously aware they had amendments prepared for the bills, but they're not here. So I'm just sort of thinking through what the fairest way to proceed here is. Representative Hausman.
I would encourage, Mr. Chair, we've been, I think, quite generous with time. You've been fair this whole session. You've been good about public notices. There's clearly a starting time and a place for the meeting, and I would say you could, with a clear conscience, move to the business of the day.
That's what I'm basically doing, is soliciting thoughts from those folks that are here. Representative Grant, we are so close to the end of the session that we do have to move on these bills. That's the issue.
Mr. Chair, I would concur with Representative Hausman. Some of us canceled things to be here. If they had asked not to have the meeting or wanted to change it because of the breakfast, but since we didn't hear, and then the rest of us have said, you know, I think we have to be fair to those in the room as well who are incredibly busy, to have another meeting to repeat what we've just done today when people are, you know, surly anyway to have to sit here.
Not all of us yet.
Yes, we're sitting by some of them here. So I think that we should proceed.
And I do want to, check with both the committee staff to find out if we had not been informed at all that there was going to be a conflict by anyone from the other caucus. So I did check in both cases. Representative Kahn?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's obviously there. I know that I don't know if this goes. Does this go to Ways and Means or just to the floor? Well, I know that the chair of Ways and Means doesn't like anything other than totally fiscal amendments, but it's possible that he might make an exception in this case for that, and there is the floor.
Yeah, there is.
None of these amendments are ones that would not be considered non-germane.
Procedures, I think there is the floor. That would be... okay, we have... I think the consensus is that we should move ahead. We did give proper notice.
If you want things to be fair, I can play Marty Seifert for...
I could make a comment, but well...
And while everybody's complimenting you about being a fair guy, Mr. Chair, I'd like to second that, but still am puzzled by your two votes recently again.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
I think we better stay on the bill instead of
being. No. I just want to make a historical reference to Representative, if he remembers the conversation we once had when Willard Munger, Mr. Chairman, was sitting in your chair and he asked Representative Begich, am I fair? And Begich looked back and says, yes, he says, but you could be more fair.
Okay. Well, with that, we have a motion before us.
Mr. Chair, I didn't quite understand. I was not concentrating on. Are we deferring then the ability for the minority to offer amendments during the ways and means?
We'll talk about that. They have the opportunity, perhaps there or perhaps in on the floor. The way we're currently operating, obviously the floor, that's a given, and discussions can take place about. Other steps in the process.
Mr. Chair, one thing with the amendments on in the committee, we do have an opportunity to ask if there's a clarification of amendment for a person to come and testify on it. And if there is some policy questions, I think we can accommodate everybody by changing our procedures a little bit in the ways and means to be able to do that, if that's the case. On the floor, we don't have the opportunity to have any witness called to clarify a particular amendment if somebody wants to ask a witness a question.
Oh, we'll work those issues out, obviously. Yeah. Representative Hilty renews his motion then that Senate File 145 be recommended to pass as amended and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. We'll revert back then to Representative Peterson's bill that he did present, and we laid over temporarily while we were waiting for hopefully some from the minority caucus. So Representative Hilty renews his or makes his motion then that the House File 2253, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any further discussion on the Peterson bill? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. We now have Senate File 538 by Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This bill is 538 that deals with heating and cooling systems and state-funded buildings. And if it's appropriate, I don't know, if it is appropriate, I have an amendment just to make orally, just to take out some words. Is it in front of the committee?
Madam Chairman, I move the State Government Finance Division Report, the Senate File 538, the First Committee Engrossment.
Okay. Is there any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Now, Madam Chairman, I move Senate File 538, First Committee Engrossment, be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. Is there any discussion?
No. Peterson's got an amendment.
Excuse me, members. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speaking with the state architect today, and then Mr. Rhodes from the department on line 1.8, I'd like to just quickly, and this makes it more, in phase with how the administration and the department operate in terms of state buildings and project proposals. So after the word review, so the commissioner must review, delete, and study, and insert project proposers study 4. So it would read on 1.8, the commissioner must review project proposers study 4, geothermal and solar thermal applications.
I'll move that amendment.
Does everyone understand the amendment?
Vote.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment carried. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Peterson. Do you realize that in, with this particular 538, you've got every other state capital project except water treatment plants or sewage treatment plants?
Representative Peterson?
And Mr. Representative Peterson, you very well might want to at some point include them.
Representative Peterson.
Madam Chair and Representative Mahoney, where do you, are you, I'm confused as to why you, this is, deals with state buildings and constructed or maintained the state funds.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
Under 16B.335, that's all capital projects, almost every water treatment and sewage treatment plant in the state has capital money from the state. You just exempt them from any consideration on geothermal and solar applications. It's not my bill. I don't really care. It's just something for you to consider before it gets to the floor.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Mahoney. Since we sit together on the floor, we'll talk about it later, I guess.
Is there any further discussion? Yeah. Representative Kahn renews her motion.
Oh.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
We're looking, members, looks like this is our morning. We're looking for Representative Nelson. We told him that there was some likelihood that we might not get to his bill. So, if we don't find him very quickly, we'll simply adjourn. Yeah, but he has nothing to do with the Nelson bill. Yeah, but he's not part of the Nelson bill. We'll recess for a couple of minutes, and if we find Representative Nelson, we'll continue. Otherwise, we'll adjourn.
Mahoney could do it.
Oh, can you present it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Representative Mahoney, we will not recess. Representative Mahoney? House File 1283. And is Representative Rukavina here? The chair moves that the Higher Ed, Education, and Workforce Development Finance Division report for House File 1283, the second committee engrossment, be adopted. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Mr. Chair, could you quiet the room a little bit?
If we, our recess was about 30 seconds, so we're back in new order. And Representative Rukavina, we just adopted your division report. The next motion we need from you would be to move House File 1283. That motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying, or no, excuse me, now we have to jump, now we have to build the force, now we have to jump to the amendment. Representative Rukavina would move that H1283DE3 be put on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I'll make that motion.
Okay, that motion is before us. Okay, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That's this one here.
And do you have the H-1283A7 amendment? It's a small...
It's being passed out currently.
Okay. Somebody could move that. That's just a minor drafting mistake on line, on page 8, line 8, delete 5 and insert 6. And on page 8, line 12, delete the 5 and insert 6.
Okay. Representative Nelson incorporates that, or I should say Representative Rukavina can just incorporate that into his amendment then. Okay.
And one other minor drafting mistake, Mr. Chair, that was made when they did the delete all amendment, they left off the repealer that was in the bill. That needs to be in there. Trying to grab the bill here. On the original bill, page 9, I think line 9, double check it.
923. 921. Mr. Chair? We actually don't have it. If there's a delete all amendment, we don't have it. That's the side of the table.
Okay. I think he's working on it.
We'll see if that's. It's coming around now. Okay. For the delete all amendment, just so everybody's aware then of what happened as they're getting it, I didn't realize people didn't have the delete all amendment yet, or that some didn't. So we have the delete all amendment before us, and we incorporated in that amendment the H-1283-A7. So now that's a part of the delete all. That was a couple of minor corrections. And Representative Nelson, you are about to make another
verbal amendment here. Yeah, on the original bill 1283, that it's the second engrossment, when they did the delete all, they left off the repealer. That would be line 920 to 922 needs to be incorporated into the bill.
Mr. Chair, I don't know how to...
You can just incorporate.
You can just incorporate that. The main thing is to make sure that staff, do you have that? Yeah, she has it. So
I would move to incorporate on 1283, the repealer on lines 9.20 to 9.21.
You can just incorporate that. We don't need to.
Incorporate that in my amendment.
Okay, so Representative Nelson, does that get the amendment before us as
that,
you...
That gets the bill in front of us the way it needs to be.
Okay, and then if you'd explain the amendment.
Well, what the amendment does, basically, this is the independent contractor registration certification bill that we've been going through. The delete all amendment has three minor changes, and get my head together here this morning. The first part has to do with dealing with a piece that was dealt with on the floor on the employer-employee relationship piece, that changed the language there. Just clarifies that a little bit better. The other piece has to do with individuals, the fee for individuals that are on page 315, the fee for people that have residential contractor's license, when they're registering for getting their residential contractor's license, being able to also at the same time get their independent contractor, fill the paperwork out for that, and get onto that. And the third has to do with the data practices to line this up with the similar information that's in the residential contractor's license. And those are two, and we dealt with this on the floor the other day, those are two parts that were brought up that were concerned. And so with that, otherwise the bill is the same as it's been coming forward for the other committees.
Okay, and we do have to get over for floor session, so unless there's compelling questions. Okay, seeing none, then the motion before us to adopt the amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Then we will move the bill as amended. And does this one require a re-referral?
I believe it needs to go to
Ways and Means. Okay, that the bill House File 1283 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.